Good morning, everyone. Shall we just bow down our heads as we pray? Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for today. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you will open your counsel to us this morning. We ask, O Lord, that you will open your word to us and let your grace flow. And by all means, Father, Lord, that in the end you will take all the glory. So, Heavenly Father, we come before you not just to seek your hand, but to seek your face and to know your ways and to know that which is in your heart. Well, by the sounds of it, I guess it's a gentle reminder for each and every one of us. If you've got your mobile phone still on loud, if you can just kindly put it on silent or vibration, whichever option works on your device. Thank you. Amen. Once again, morning. I greet you in the name of Jesus. And what I'm about to speak on this morning, I really encourage us to hear my heart in this. Please hear my heart in this. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew 25. I'll be reading from verse 14 to 30. Matthew 25. 14 to 30, Matthew 25. And I read, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then when he had received the 5 talents, went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' He also who had received 2 talents came and said, 'Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' Then the one who received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you are, have what is yours.' But his Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" Amen. Such, this is a picture of what Jesus has done. Though he has gone away, he will return. In the meantime, he has given us his possessions to steward. Importantly, a steward is not an owner, but one who manages the owner's possessions.
The Bible makes that clear. God owns everything. God owns everything. And he expects us to protect and expand his possessions for the advancement of his kingdom. As Christians, I believe God has you and I three things to steward. Until Jesus returns, you have time. The day-to-day contest in which kingdom opportunities arise. Secondly, every believer has talents. This we can categorize under abilities and skills. These are gifts from God to develop and use for his kingdom purpose. Thirdly, you have treasures, your financial resources. Note, the Lord has distributed what we have to be to us based on his perfect will and knowledge of our capacities. The question is not what or how much you have. The question is, what will you do with what you have been given? This morning, I sat here, and one of the questions that kept coming to me, I think I prayed briefly about it. But one of the burdens that laid on my heart as I sat down there was that, what happens to this place after we are gone? Has this been a burden on anyone here? Have you sat down one day and just thought that, if I'm no longer in this world, what happens to this place? Not in a possessive way, not that you want to have it and own it for yourself, but when we are gone, what happens to this place? I believe the position of this church is to impact the community around it, the homes around it, the businesses around it. But it doesn't seem to be the case, because if it's the case, these people should be coming here in the morning to fellowship together with us today. And for us here who are here, who are still running the race, like the likes of Enoch, like the likes of Abraham at our age, the question I ask is, when we are gone, who takes over? The third servant said, I know you. You are a wicked master. And sometimes that's what we hear from a lot of people. A lot of the younger generation don't think that they need to come to church. They don't see why they have to come to church. They don't see why they have to have a relationship with God. All they know is that they have to have a life of their own. They've got to go to school. They have skills. They have to work hard to earn their promotion, to go on holidays and do the things that pleases them. The concept of a master and a servant is not something that they lean into very much. And so it makes it difficult to speak to them. But because they are human, they still need Jesus. So this servant thinks that his master is wicked. He reaps where he does not sow. But this is coming from a servant. The role of a servant is to serve. The role of a servant is to wait after his master. And that servant lives freely in his master's house. His master takes care of him. His master makes sure he has a place to lay his head. His master makes sure he has food. He has clothes to wear. There is nothing that he lacks as a servant. And to be honest, this master could have left and left him to just keep on doing what he does and not give him anything else. Six, the talent given to him, we are told, is one. But that is worth 6,000 denarii. Or 20 years' wages of labor. In today's economy, does anybody know how much that would be? Any idea? Take a guess. 416,458 pounds. That wasn't small money given to him. So why did he feel his master was wicked? And then when we read this scripture, it tells us that everyone was given this talent according to their abilities. So if this servant was honest enough and sincere to himself, he would have acknowledged that I receive what I received because of my abilities. But he wasn't honest to himself either. And in our current context, we live in a society where people are entitled. All they want to do is they just want to take. They don't want to give. And this servant felt the need to tell his master. He was actually bold enough to say to his master that he is wicked. How could you even utter such words to someone who looks after you? I get it, he was afraid. But what he missed out was that he did not look at the brighter or the bigger picture here. This was an opportunity for him to prove his master wrong, that he's got abilities. He could do more. You see, believers, each and every one of us, we are here as a result of what Jesus did. Jesus profited of us. And now he's got to profit of us too. We profited of Jesus. Let me put it that way. We profited of Jesus dying on the cross. Now others have to profit of us. Which is why I go back to the opening question. What do we think will happen to this place? What investments are we making in the lives of our children, in the lives of our family members who are younger, that when we are gone, they will still find this place home? They will still run to this place. It says, well, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. They will still find the need to fellowship. And that life is not all about what we wear, what we eat, or what we drink, or even where we lay our head. Because honestly, scripture tells us that. He said, well, we should look at the lilies. The sunny days are upon us now. So he said, look at the lilies. Look at the birds of the air. Look at those animals. They do not labor to feed themselves. How much more for you, the Son of Man, made in my own image? Just have faith in me. And again, that servant also, what he demonstrated wasn't something we can say was reasonable. I like what you said about the bishop and the gentleman who owns the pig. Which is why Paul would say, what? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, pleasing, and acceptable. And Paul concludes by saying, this is your only reasonable act of service. Or sometimes he says, this is your only reasonable act of sacrifice. Is it reasonable? No. Because the ability to present oneself holy, the work it takes to present oneself pleasing and acceptable, is a lot. But Paul is saying that if you want a metric to measure it, the metric is that it's your reasonable act of service. So this morning, have we buried our roles? Have we buried our talents by way of what it takes to go out there and speak Jesus to other people? Or have we become comfortable with just seeing each other, knowing each other for as long as we've known each other? Or are we willing to still be open to the possibility that in as much as we don't know how long we have to live, we can still have fellowship with other people who are not just people we've known all these years? We can still speak Jesus to them. We don't have to bury that skill. We don't have to bury that talent. Our time is not up. You know what? Enoch encountered the Lord around 60, 65. But the Lord said that, or scripture tells us that he walked a faithful walk with the Lord, that the Lord was so pleased with him that he called him to himself. But his journey started around 65 years old. Abraham started when he was old. I just want to encourage us and tell us that we've not lost the battle. We've still got strength in us. We've still got talents in us. We can still invest them. The investment Jesus made is what we are profiting of today. Many of us here probably are enjoying the benefits of our pension, isn't it? Had we not made any savings in that manner, would we be benefiting from that? Some of us have other forms of investment that we've invested into. And if tomorrow we go to claim those investments, if we are told that what we invested is what we will receive, how would we feel? And this is an appeal to us. Jesus is saying, this scripture is saying that, look, this is an investment. Let's not feel as if Jesus is robbing us off or God is robbing us of our lives, that we can't have life for ourselves. How much more holidays can we have before we are happy? How much more barbecues and summers can we have before we can surrender some time to the Lord? How much more time at South End Sea or whatever seas are around here do we want to go and stretch our legs and enjoy the sun before we carry the burden of understanding what it takes to speak to Jesus? Because this investment is not for it to just sit in us. It is for us to be able to invest it into other people. You see, I like what you said about the pig, because when you look at the concept of the hen and the pig, the hen will lay an egg here or there. As and when you need some egg, you can get it. But for the pig, when it comes to offering, he offers everything. The pig cannot offer some and still leave. But the hen can offer an egg here or there. And what we are called to do is not to lay an egg here or there as and when it makes us comfortable. As and when it's pleasing to us. And so, my challenge to us is that, let's ask the question, what is it that we ought to dig out? We've got skills. I've heard a lot of great stories of rain. You guys have got skills. I've heard a lot of praises, and I've seen it at work. I've seen your dedication. I've seen how dependable you can be, how resourceful you can be, how you can be counted upon. And I just want to say, there is still more from where all those good things come from. Amen? Amen? Amen. There is still more. There is still more. There's one thing, what's his name? The Elim historian always says, what's his name again? Jones. He says, I will keep moving. I will keep kicking in this my old body until the Lord calls me home. And I just want to say, there is still more kick in each and every one of us here. And for those of us who are younger, there is still even much more kick in us. Amen? So let's just look at ourselves and what we can do as a time of appraisal. When we look at this story, what the scripture is telling us is that we have to be a people who can be entrusted with things. And like I said, we've been entrusted with some things, and I've seen how it's been used. But I believe it is now the season where more needs to be added, where we have to increase what we've been doing. I also believe that we are not just servants who are in the act of acting as if we are, but we are actually servant-hearted. Because I've seen your dedication. I've been here many times, and I've seen your work. And so I can say that you are not just doing it to act a role. You are actually doing it because that is your heart. And keep at it. And to this point, steward. Like I said, how do we steward what we've got in the time that we have left to be able to draw others into this church? Dean, how many people can this church take full capacity? 100. Let's say 50. Even if we get the words out throughout the week and just keep on pressing and inviting people, inviting our friends, and tell them that, look, this is a good place to come. This is a good place to come and fellowship. I get it that you might be old. I get it that you might want to do something else on a Sunday. But between 10:30 and 12, we have a great time in the presence of God. Just come. Let's enjoy His presence. You've tried everything else. Try Jesus. Give Him a try. You've tried NHS, you know. You've tried chemotherapy. You've tried everything. But come, let's see if Jesus' peace will be enough for you. Just as He said, my peace I leave with you. Not as men give it. He said His peace, which surpasses all understanding. That even in the midst of your pain, in the midst of your struggle, His peace will speak over everything. I pray that this very point about stewardship, the Lord presses an understanding of how we can exercise that role in our seasons of life that we are in right now as a church. That we are able to understand how to speak to the people that we encounter on a daily basis. That God will gift us a skill in this season that we are able to let those people know, especially those who don't know Christ, to come to the full knowledge of who He is. And finally, that we are profitable. Like I said, for those of us who have investments, we've not gone and said, you know what, I think I've made enough profit, so I want to take the investment. I don't want any more money to be coming. We've still kept it. Why? Because it is good investment. And so, until our last final breath on this earth, may your life be profitable unto the Father. And so I pray that He helps us to understand what it looks like to be profitable to Him. How we can invest our time, we can invest our resources, our talent, to draw others to Him and to reflect Christ, not ourselves. Church, there are people out there saying, like I said earlier on, God is unreasonable. There are people saying that God is wicked. He is a control freak, calling Him all kinds of names. But it is time we let them know that God is none of these things. But the reason why we go through the adversities, the reasons why we experience the wickedness, the cruelty in this world, is as a result of the fallen nature. And until we continue to be the salt of this world, until we continue to be the light of this world, we cannot change that mindset. We cannot bring them to a place where they are being transformed by the renewal of their minds. And so this morning, I just want to encourage each and every one of us. There is still more to give. Because in the end, even though the servant had a right to say his master is wicked, he had a point to say he was fearful. None of those things count. Because Jesus was fearful. Jesus had his times of struggle. One vivid moment was when he went into prayer and said, Lord, if this cup can be taken away from me. But in that place of prayer, the Lord gave him the strength that he said, not my will, but let your will be done. It was a selfless nature of his surrender, at the same time also of his weakness before the Father, saying, I need your strength to be able to do this thing. I've done most of it, but this is the icing. This is the most important part. Give me the strength to do it. Why? Because none of us want to be referred to as useless. None of us want to be referred to as good for nothing. None of us want to be referred to as unprofitable servants, which were the names given to the third servant who had one talent. And like I said, that is still worth a huge sum of money. And he could have still done something with it. If nothing at all, he could have asked the other two, How are you utilizing this talent? So Jesus desires to profit from our being saved, just as we are profiting from his death on the cross. Next week by this time will be Resurrection Sunday. And by the time we get to next week and we begin to reflect on Jesus' death, his crucifixion, and all of those things, may that burden really be clarified as to how we can become profitable tools in the hands of the Father, even in this season of our lives. I encourage us to spend some time with the Lord, asking for boldness to step out, dig up our talents, and begin to find ways of using it for his kingdom or investing it in others. So just like how people pass on the baton, my challenge to us this morning is that we ask the Lord, how can we pass on the baton? How can we start nurturing younger people to be on fire for Jesus? How can we come to a place where Christ is appealing? Because he did something to you, didn't he? Jesus did something to you. Or are you just here because you just came? Jesus did something to you, which is why you have a relationship with him. And that act of kindness and love is not meant to stay with just you. It is meant to be shared with others. It is meant to help you journey with other people as well, to let them know that, yes, I acknowledge your struggles, but even in this, you can still have a relationship with him. You don't have to fix yourself before you come to him. You don't have to do all the right things before you come to him. Just come as you are. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, I thank you. I bless you for this church. And I thank you for what you are doing. I pray, O Lord, that Father's strength will arise upon each and every member of this church, Lord. I pray, even in their weakest states, O God, wisdom will show them how things should be done pertaining to kingdom and godliness. I pray, according to your word, which says that we will hear a voice behind us telling us which way we should go. In the coming days and weeks and months and years to come, I pray, O Lord, that your mercy will beseech this place and your goodness will surround us in a way that you will teach us how to speak of your goodness to others, how to witness, how to evangelize, how to draw other men unto you. Because this legacy of a church is not meant to just be for us and us only. We are here as a reason of others handed it over to us. Now it is time for us to dig in and dig out all that we have left and begin to invest into others, that the house of the Lord will be filled with those who need healing, those who need restoration, those who need feeding physically and spiritually, those who need a relationship, those who need a father figure, a brother, those who need a counselor, those who need a helper. I believe there are so many people in this community who need those things and many more, which only you can provide exceedingly, abundantly, above all that they could ever think or imagine. So, Father, Lord, I pray that may we live here with a burden, with a question on our hearts, saying, how should things be done? How could we, or how should we, create an environment that the next generation can receive the profits of what you've done in this place and what you continue to do? So, Lord, Father, we return all the glory to you. We bless your holy name for your goodness to us.